Welcome to this podcast from Neurogastroenterology and Motility. It publishes original research and topical reviews on basic and clinical aspects of gastrointestinal sensation and motility, as well as brain-gut interactions.
Now, so welcome everyone to this month's podcast from Neurogastroenterology and Motility. My name's Adam Farmer and I'm a gastroenterologist at the Wingate Institute in London. This month, it's my pleasure to welcome Professor Thangam Venkatesan from the Medical College of Wisconsin in Milwaukee in the USA. So Thangam, many thanks for joining us on the podcast this month, and congratulations to you on your co-authors on your really interesting paper entitled Depression, Young Age, Chronic Marijuana Use and Inter-Episodic Symptoms Predict Psychological Distress in Patients with Cyclical Vomiting Syndrome. So if I could start off and ask you, what is cyclical vomiting syndrome?
Yeah, thank you, Adam, for having me on your podcast series to discuss our paper. Cyclic vomiting syndrome is actually a chronic condition. It was, of note, I saw that you were from St. Bart's. It was first described by Samuel G. from St. Bart's in London in the 1800s in 14 children. It was first thought to be a pediatric disease, but it's as common in adults. And essentially, it's a chronic condition that is characterized by these stereotypic episodes of nausea, severe nausea, vomiting, and abdominal pain. It can be very debilitating and incapacitating. And patients usually typically are normal in between episodes. So it's almost like an on and off switch. They're very sick. It can last from anywhere from a few hours to several days. And it's usually self-limiting. So it generally gets better whether you do anything or not in about 7 days or so. That's kind of CVS in a nutshell for you.
Okay, that's very helpful. And what do we know already about psychological distress in CVS? Because certainly some of the patients that I see in my own practice have a lot of psychological distress.
Yeah. So that is correct, Adam. And CVS, like other functional GI disorders, is associated with multiple comorbid conditions, particularly psychological disorders. And so there have been papers in the past which have looked at anxiety and depression both in children and adults. And there is a high degree or high prevalence of these disorders in CVS, and various papers have slightly different results based on the tools they have used to measure these disorders, and this can range anywhere from 15 to even 80%. However, we really don't know about global psychological distress because most of these studies have really focused on just anxiety and depression rather than, distress from a global standpoint.
So that's really interesting. So, but onto your study now, what was your hypothesis as you embarked on your work?
Yeah, so having seen so many patients with CVS, we hypothesized, obviously, that these patients have very high degrees of psychological distress. And we also had some preliminary data suggesting that perhaps marijuana use, which is very prevalent in these patients, may be linked to this. And so we essentially kind of hypothesized that, one, psychological distress is highly prevalent in CVS, and two, we also hypothesized that there may be certain factors, particularly comorbid conditions like anxiety or depression, marijuana use, and maybe even healthcare utilization to be associated with psychological distress in CVS.
So what was your patient population and what methods did you use in your study?
Our patient population predominantly consisted of all adults with cyclic vomiting syndrome who presented to our clinic. We excluded those, obviously, with other comorbid conditions, like systemic disorders like inflammatory bowel disease or malignancy, and obviously pregnancy, which would, I think, interfere with our study. We also studied mostly patients who were seen for the first time in our clinic, though they had seen multiple other gastroenterologists in the past, though we did have some established patients as well.
So what were your key results to come out from your study?
Yeah, so our, you know, this is again a cross-sectional study of patients, adults with cyclic vomiting syndrome, and we found that approximately 40% or 41% of patients had high degrees of psychological distress. And we also found that among the various domains that we measured with this instrument called the Basic Symptom Inventory, somatization was the most severe symptom domain. We also found that, interestingly, independent predictors of psychological distress were a history of depression and young adults aged 25 to 35, chronic marijuana use, and the presence of what we call inter-episodic GI symptoms or dyspepsia predicted psychological distress in these patients. So those were the main findings of our study.
So the Rome 4 criteria now has differentiated cyclic vomiting from cannabinoid-induced hyperemesis. How do you think that change in definition is useful, and how do you regard those two diagnoses?
Yeah, I probably could talk for an hour just on cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome. You know, again, as you know, the Rome criteria came out with diagnostic criteria for cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome, or CHS. You know, one of the concerns I have, I think first to answer your question, we really need to know or understand if CHS is a true entity or not. And I would say that there is insufficient data at this point to say that CHS is a real disorder. We don't know that for sure. Because while there have been many case studies and case series, and the largest of this was the Simonetto study where they looked at 98 patients, while they found that there was a statistical association, you know, of chronic cannabis use with CVS, I don't believe that there was causation. None of these series, case series, actually proved causation. And another limitation of all these studies that led to this hypothesis that CHS is an entity is that there was a lack of follow-up in all these studies. So most of these patients were not followed up, which means that you really cannot ascribe causation. And so I think, one, we need to separate that out. Is it a true, you know, entity? Is CHS a true entity or not? You know, personally, based on the literature, all we can say is perhaps it's a subset of CVS. And two, you know, maybe, you know, patients are using marijuana, and we have studies looking at that where they mostly use it as an anxiolytic agent. So I think probably it may be a little premature to say that CHS is a separate entity. Again, I realize that this is a controversial topic, but I think based on the data, we have a lot of questions that remain unanswered as to whether CHS is a true entity or not.
No, I would entirely agree with that point. What were the limitations of your study?
Yeah, so obviously our study did have some limitations. One of the things is I do have a tertiary referral center, so most patients have already seen multiple gastroenterologists without a diagnosis. So, you know, one, there is definitely a tertiary referral bias. You know, these are the very patients we really need to be worried about because they're high healthcare seekers. You know, for multiple other reasons, they have severe disease and so on. So that's one limitation. And two, you know, I want to be cautious. Even though we predicted psychological distress with these four factors, again, we need to be very careful to ascribe causation. So we really don't know whether it's the chicken or the egg. So is psychological distress, you know, it's just associated with CVS. So whether it's a cause or effect, we don't know yet. And three, there's a very complex, I think, relationship between cannabis or marijuana use and CVS. And so those are things I think we really need to understand better. But I think our study probably sets up the stage for that.
So what do you think the potential implications in the here and now of your results for patient management?
Yeah. So I think, you know, one of the take-home points, at least for very busy clinicians who are seeing patients, and perhaps CVS is not an area of expertise for them, is to quickly identify high-risk groups. For instance, you know, we had these four factors that predicted psychological distress. And using a logistic regression modeling, we actually ascribe points to them. And so if any of these factors are present, I think it should alert the clinician that there is a high degree of distress and that perhaps these high-risk groups should at least be referred to psychological counseling or, you know, treatment as indicated. So I think that is one of the important take-home messages. Obviously, it was a study and we used an instrument called the BSI, which one costs money and two takes time. But I think using our modeling system or using this, what we call the DAME score, I think it would be helpful to identify these high-risk, you know, patients with CVS. And, you know, another interesting point is that we looked at healthcare utilization and we found that healthcare utilization or high healthcare utilization was actually not associated with psychological distress, you know, which was interesting. And it has been shown in other studies. So I think, you know, psychological distress may be driven by extra-intestinal factors, like we've seen in other functional GI disorders. And so I think it really, you know, underscores the need for a biopsychosocial model where we incorporate, you know, psychological counseling and mental health services. So I think that would be the take-home point of my paper.
So what do you think are the key knowledge gaps that we need to look at now in this area?
So I think, you know, we do have several knowledge gaps because one, I think as far as psychological distress and psychological comorbidity, now we have identified and we know that these patients have these comorbid factors. Another important thing that we noted, like I said previously, was the, you know, the chronic cannabis use and how it's associated with psychological comorbidity. So it may be very possible that, you know, the underlying psychological distress is driving patients to use cannabis instead of the other way around. And I think some of these complex relationships need to be sorted out. So I think that would be sort of the next step in taking this a little further.
So with that, I'd like to thank you and your co-authors for a really excellent paper, which was very interesting indeed, and also for assisting in this month's podcast, and also to our listeners for tuning in. And I look forward to welcoming you again on another instalment of the podcast next month.
Further information about this paper can be found on the journal website. We hope that you have enjoyed this podcast, and we look forward to welcoming you to next month's edition.